We're joined today by the Southampton Mustangs manager, Ben Davis, who's going to talk to us a little bit about the success last season for the Mustangs team, what we're looking forward to this season down in Southampton, and just to sort of give us a bit of an introduction to the club as a whole, and we can sort of take it from there. So, Ben, how are you this evening?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Sean. Yeah, thanks for having me again.
No problem. We tried this on Sunday, didn't we? And we had a bit of a Wi-Fi based disaster. So I hope that we're not doomed to failure again. But at least, as we were saying before we start chatting here, we've had something of a dress rehearsal, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's no excuses for screwing up now.
So speaking of dress rehearsals, I guess 2016 for the Southampton Mustangs was a dress rehearsal for continued dominance of the sports scene on the South Coast, because you guys won the Eastleigh Sports Team of the Year up against some pretty stiff opposition last week. So it's been a good 6 months for you guys down in Eastleigh, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, to win the national title, that's been something we've been working on for years. We've been to the finals twice before and fallen at the last hurdle. So to win that finally has been, that's over a decade of work put in to win that. So that was huge. And then, to win the Sports Team of the Year down in, in the local area was great, because we're getting recognized finally, and the sport is as a whole. I think that's the most important thing, is that people are now recognizing there is baseball, and it is good baseball. So hopefully we can get more people involved.
And is that in terms of getting young people along? I know you've set up a softball arm to the Mustangs quite recently, or is it getting people along to watch the game, like, pique their interest really?
All of it. I mean, in order to grow a sport, you've got to do all the different aspects right and grow them all at different times in different timelines of your club. So, yeah, on the participation front, yes, we would love more adults to be involved, without a doubt. We would like to see another team at some point. We're close to getting a third team, hopefully, within the next couple of years. The youth side is growing. We're now trying to get enough resource and able to grow it even more quickly. I think that, without a doubt, that is the future of our club. It should be the future of baseball as a whole in the country, and in any country. It doesn't matter where you are. You've got to grow the kids. So that's a priority for us. Softball, the same thing. It's, we're linked together. So baseball and softball now go hand in hand, and that trickles down from, the World Baseball Softball Confederation all the way down. Most federations in Europe globally are now merging together, and, we need to work together. We're both minority sports, and, we need to, in order to gain funding, to get support, to get interest, we need to work together. And all of that will breed interest in the sport as a whole, which will then get, people down watching games, which then can help bring revenue and just raise awareness and get baseball to where it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to sort of pick up on the funding point, it was something that was going through my mind this afternoon. How are you guys funded? I know you get support from Baseball Softball UK and Sport England, but do you get grants from local sports organisations, Southampton Council, or do you have any generous benefactors who are just interested in baseball in Southampton, or is it a mix of the above, really?
It's a little bit of a mix, bar a generous benefactor. I wish we had one. We've tried, but they're few and far between. We are predominantly funded by our members, which I think is probably the case for most clubs in their initial stages of being a club. That'll get you to a certain point. It won't allow you to grow. So you have to look at other sources of revenue and tapping into those sources. So we've started working closely with the council and adjoining our aims with their aims for getting children, getting girls, women into sports, various initiatives that, we can do well and that can help them do their jobs, which will then draw down funding. We work with BSUK, we work with BBF it's not a big pool of money. But if you're doing the right things, it can go to the right jobs to increase participation. We also got some money from Tesco's. So we did one of the things where you put little coins at the end of your shop and you know, for charities. We managed to get some money funding for that, for our youth side. We got a private sponsorship to the tune of £500 from another company. You know, it's little bits and pieces. I think we're working towards a bigger funding stream, but we do what we can. We're still a reasonably small club comparatively to some of the other big clubs, but we're very active.
And I guess, the recognition a couple of weeks ago at the Sports Awards is all going to help in that direction, yeah?
It should, yeah. I mean, it gives us access to, you know, every award during that awards night. So all about 10 awards were sponsored by companies. So we now have access to those companies, whether they knew baseball existed or not. And it all feeds part of a community thing. And they're all local companies, you know, whether they're big and global like Hilton or not, but they have initiatives for local things. And I think that's what we need to tap into. And not just us, but every sport club in the country, every baseball club, every softball club needs to start looking at different things like that in order to get some different ways of funding and thinking a little bit bigger.
Great. So sort of starting from the bottom about the base of the whole club, you in your role are the manager of the National Baseball League team. So the first nine, if you will, and everybody else who's involved in it. Where are things for you right now? How's it looking for 2017? You've had a bit of turnover in the squad. One or two of your main players, Spencer Kreisberg and Francisco Gonzalez, have moved on to bigger and better things. But I guess you're feeling hopeful about defending your title?
Yeah, we're going to make a good go of it, you know, without a doubt. We knew Spencer and Francisco were going to go. We knew that before the end of the season. So we were able, we had a, you know, 4 or 5 month head start on trying to find replacements for that. Obviously, pitching is key. Whether it's here or in European competition, you need pitching depth. Without it, you're going to struggle. So we had to replace those guys. We couldn't sit back and with what we had. Yes, we have a good pitching core, but we need more. So we addressed that. We went out and found Gianni Facchiola with great experience, and then a young talent out of Venezuela, Angel Padron. So, you know, we addressed those two holes. We kept the majority of the rest of the team. And I think, you know, and added a few bits and pieces where we had some gaps, in order to keep the quality of, you know, where it is. And, you know, and ultimately this year, really to go and try and get to that next step in Europe. That was the goal, was building for that tournament, that week-long tournament for the CEB tournament.
I want to talk a little bit about Gianni Fracchiola and Angel Padron in a moment. But before we do that, just to touch on Francisco Gonzalez, he's gone off to play in the German Bundesliga for Mannheim. And for those who maybe aren't aware listening to this podcast, that's quite a step up for him, isn't it? Unfortunately for us, it's a really much higher standard of baseball. But it's also, I guess, a feather in your cap that he's been noticed playing for your team and managed to make that step.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. We are proud to have him go. I mean, to be fair, it's not a step up for Francisco. So before he joined us, he played for Tenerife, which, again, in the Spanish league, they won the Spanish league. So he's played at that level. He was signed to a professional contract in Venezuela when he was 18. So he's a good player. So he can play at that level, but it's good that he can come from us and go to somewhere else. You know, we did the same for part of the season last year when we had Callum Vinyl go out to Tübingen in the Bundesliga, kind of almost on a loan, if you will, and to play in there as catcher, which was, you know, a great achievement for him, great experience. And it's good. The more people we can get out, and whether it's from us or from anyone else, they can go out and play internationally. It spreads the word that British baseball isn't as bad as either we think here in the UK or what the rest of Europe or the world thinks. Actually, you know what? We've got guys that can play in most leagues in Europe, without a doubt.
So coming on to the two new guys, we'll start with Gianni. On your own website, on the Southampton Mustangs website, and certainly on pickup from some of the other sites that cover European baseball, such as Mr. Baseball. This was being touted as something of a coup. So he's a guy who he's been in the Texas Rangers system. He's originally from Venezuela, of course, and albeit he only got to the sort of rookie level, but that's an achievement in and of itself. And he played the last couple of years in Germany and in San Marino. And if you look at his stats, they're pretty impressive. He looks like he's going to be, if not the best player you guys have ever had, certainly going to be amongst it, right?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, yeah, we've never had a guy play for us that's played in a major league organization before, whether it's, you know, low A or not. That's a big thing. So, yeah, you know, and we worked out, we have to think of different ways of being able to do this. And, you know, to be fair, the thing I think that triggered it is the potential of the youth program, you know, giving guys something to do, giving them the ability to coach the youth program, you know. And it's something like, to be fair, it's a model that the London Mets have done very successfully over the years. You know, they've got a great youth program. They have the ability then, because of that, to bring in import players to do the coaching and then play for the top team on the weekends, which is the same as all the Europeans have been doing for years and years. We're just a little bit behind. But now we in Southampton have kind of caught up to that model and we're able to do it. Which is great because it ensures a certain caliber of player kind of all the time coming in, cycling. We know that there is a time limit to these guys hanging around, whether it's 1 year or 2 years. Hopefully it's longer, but you just don't know. You know, it's that's just European baseball for you.
Yeah, and Angel Padron is a young guy. He's 18 years old. And actually, I did a bit of Googling of him over the weekend, and I guess some of your guys will have seen it, but for those who are listening to this conversation, you can find a really interesting clip of him on YouTube. 3 minutes of him throwing down his pitches, and he looks like he throws very hard and has a mix of two or three pretty good looking pitches. So how did you get him, 18-year-old guy from Venezuela? Why is he going to be in Eastleigh this summer rather than in, I don't know, Italy or in the minors?
Because Eastleigh's the place to be. well, no, I mean, it's no secret. You know, we have a large Venezuelan contingency on the team, which is great. And they're very well connected. It's a very community driven side of our club. And, you know, they work hard at trying to find different guys to fill holes. The advantage of a lot of the Venezuelans is they also hold European passports. So it's easier for them to come in. Plus, you can find them jobs legally without, you know, just living in cash in hand or having to be self-funded. And with, you know, a core of Venezuelans, obviously they have a lot of connections back in Venezuela. And Venezuela is a very good baseball playing country. There is a lot of people there. Plus, they're going through some pretty tough times. And there's a lot of people trying to get out of Venezuela. So if we can have the right environment for these players to come to, help them out, do our part and get, you know, as a community, as a family that we feel we are, then you know what, there's something for them. And again, it may not be a 5 or 10 year thing. If this is a springboard for him in the next couple of years, if we can help him progress, you know, with the help of, you know, of Gianni and some of our GB players that are more mature, that have a great coaching experience, help him springboard to something else, then we've done our job. Then that's what we want to do.
Just sort of dwelling there for a minute, if you go on your website and you look through your roster, you see the word Venezuela a lot, and it's strange. You know, I know Southampton a little bit, and I didn't know that there was a Venezuelan diaspora on the South Coast. How did that come about? And is it just linked to the baseball, or is it something that's, you know, Southampton based?
No, I mean, it's no secret to, I think, anybody within the NBL. There's a core of our guys that aren't necessarily based in Southampton. They're around because of where they want to play. They want to play for us. So, but we do have a core of Venezuelans. And it all goes back to really our head coach, Alberto Rodriguez, who's Venezuelan, who joined us locally, moved to Southampton 4 years ago, I think it was. And, you know, he's a great networker. He really gets involved with a lot of things. He's driving the youth program, and he has a lot of energy for finding these guys and linking together. And as I said, they, you know, it's a big family. Whether, you know, it's an open door policy. As I know, pretty much all the clubs in the country will be. I love the idea of having different nationalities on the team. I think it's great. You know, it's superb to have six different nationalities on a team. It's what makes baseball in Europe so great. And you know, it can be difficult at times, but it pays off in the end. And you know, they're here for a reason. They're here because they like baseball. They're here because we like each other. And it's a great thing.
Yeah, it certainly is. But for those who are listening and maybe thinking, you know, this is like Venezuela on sea, there are some British guys in your team too, and some pretty good ones too. Some who played out in Brooklyn in September for GB in the World Baseball Classic. So Jordan Edmonds, Ray Martinez, Michael Askey, and Spencer, of course. So you must have been pretty proud. They were the only representatives of the NBL who made it out to Brooklyn, right?
That's correct, yeah. And that was a fantastic achievement, not just for them, but for us as a club at Southampton, and for also for British baseball, the BBF. That was broadcast out to countless of, you know, numbers of people around the globe seeing, you know, and then to see our, you know, Southampton Mustang down in the stats was fantastic. It really, really was. And, you know, it puts it out there, and those guys talk to other guys, and it just raises awareness that British baseball is good. You know, there is a league here. There is baseball here. There are some very good players here. And it needs to grow. It needs more time. But it's all these little things keep adding up. And, you know, Liam Carroll's doing a great job with the GB side, trying, you know, and getting British-based players into that and proving, you know what, actually, it can work. There are good players. What they're doing the GB way, it's working. You know, as they're coming up through it, they're getting out there and we're getting internationally known. And that's what Britain needs.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And interestingly, I in the time between our first aborted attempt at this conversation and now, I had a really great chat with the GB catcher Chris Bassett yesterday night, and he was saying exactly the same thing. He was sort of taken aback by the standard of some of your guys who were coming into the team who he'd not played with before, and was saying that from the perspective of a guy who's been involved in the system for nearly 10 years now, and who at the start of that time was getting, to be honest, a bit of a ribbing from some of his teammates and his colleagues out in the States, attitudes are changing over there as well. Like, and you know, it's fantastic that Southampton Mustangs are playing a huge part of it.
Yeah, I mean, we really couldn't be prouder. I think it's a testament to, you know, the effort that we've put in over the years and things. But, you know, to be fair, they're you know, if you look at the Euros in Holland at the end of last year, you know, there were six different teams from the UK represented on that squad. I believe five or six teams, and you know, that's great. So it's not just, you know, it's not just all about us. But there were other teams, and that finally saying, you know what, it isn't just, oh, they're going to go out and pick all the players from other countries and make the best team. Actually, no, there are good guys that can play with them, and we've proved they can play. You know, they're not necessarily, not all of them are starting every single game, but you know what, they're there, they're in the mix, and they're learning. And they're getting that name, and they're getting the recognition out that, guys, you know, Britain's coming up. And I think, you know, and it just takes a lot of hard work. And over the next, you know, 3, 5, 10 years, I think you'll start to see a shift to getting a lot of more high caliber players. And whether they stay in the UK or go and play in Germany or Spain or wherever, it doesn't matter. You know, that they're coming out of the UK. That's what's that's what we need to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a good time to be getting into it and keeping an eye on it. So this is very much a learning curve for me this season. I paid some attention last year, but my sort of solemn promise to myself is that I'm going to get more heavily involved and engaged. So I hopefully I'm getting on it, if not ground floor, then the first floor. Trailed, I think, or mentioned, sort of hinted that there might be a couple more additions to your squad forthcoming. Is that something that you're able to put out into the public domain yet, or is it still a closely guarded secret?
No, I mean it's reasonably guarded. There's a few final things we're working on, but we do have another guy coming from the States later in the spring, again too, with a remit predominantly to help, you know, with the youth coaching. But he's also a good, very good infielder, another college player out of the States, which we're very lucky to have the opportunity to have, which adds to, again, to help the training, to help give back to the club, learn some more about UK baseball, et cetera, and just drive the standard. There's a couple of others, things we're working on that aren't finalized yet, that we hope to have, you know, hope to have done fairly soon. And then, you know, we have picked up, and, you know, we've been fairly, you know, we're fairly open about it on social media and the other news areas, you know, about some of the other guys that we've picked up that have been, you know, away from the top flight for a while, but have come back, such as, you know, Ryan and Michael Trask and Henry Collins joining us, which is have that kind of experience within the club, especially for the newer guys coming up. And, you know, it is invaluable. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time for us.
Excellent. I'm doing one or two of these interviews over the course of the next couple of weeks. And I'm going to ask everyone the same question. It was announced last week that the GB pitcher Chris Reed had announced his retirement from the professional game. So we and our podcast are starting a campaign to get him over and pitch in the NBL this year. So do you reckon that you guys would find a space for him?
I think we're full.
You're full. You I've don't got enough.
You know what? I don't think anyone's going to say no. but you know, someone like that comes in, he's got to push out somebody else. But you know what? Actually, it would be good to spread things around a little bit. Bring
yeah,
on.
You reckon?
Give my guys a challenge. Put them on somebody else and give our hitters a challenge. That's what I would want to see.
Well, when I speak to Drew at London Mets and Robert Hartz, I'll be telling them that you said that.
Hey, look, if he wants to come over, I'm sure it'll be open game between everyone within the NBL and outside the NBL, you know, to get somebody of that caliber in, obviously, as it always is. You know, we all get emails from players from abroad regularly, you know, coming over. And, you know, we all know they all talk to all the teams in the league because they don't really know who does what and et cetera. So, yeah, it is open game to some extent. But, you know, we have a very full roster. But you know what? If I put my BBF hat on as commissioner, we need to grow the league. We need to grow the game as a whole. And some of the love, as much as I love winning, we need to spread out a little bit and get the standard of play as a whole up in order to succeed.
Well, that's very noble of you, Ben.
I try.
So the focus for you outside, obviously retaining your title, is the European qualifiers this year for the Fed Cup. So you're playing out in Belgrade in June, and I think last year you were one step away from getting through to the next level and hoping to go one better this year, I guess.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, that was a tough pool. You know, playing a Spanish side whose league is far better than here in the UK. You know, if they weren't being penalized, they would have never been in that level. They were being penalized by CEB, as I understand. So that they're working their way back up, and that's why. But you know, we didn't have enough, and that's fine. But for a first tournament in Europe for us, it was a good showing. I think it's given us an idea of what we need to do, how we need to form a team, what we did wrong, what we did right, and going into this year, yeah, we need to win it. I think, you know, ourselves and, you know, the London Mets are in the same tournament up in. But they're up in Stockholm, And, you know, I fully expect they'll be going with the same view. They will have learned some things from last year, and it would be great for both of us to win that. So we get two spots for the UK up in the next in the Federation Cup. You know, that's the goal. That's what we want to see, is get those two spots and put Britain back on the map for baseball. Is where we need to be. Get us out of this, you know, the bottom rung. And we're very close to doing it.
And how does that work? Would you proceed to that level next year, or would that come later on this year?
No, so it becomes the next year. But what you do is you win the spot for your country, not for the club. So in theory, we could win our pool if Mets don't. So we get one spot in the Federation Cup, but that is for the Federation. So it's for for Britain. So whoever wins the national title will go. So if the Mets were to beat us in the national title this year, they're going up to the next level. We're not.
Okay, so it's in everyone's interest that you both win.
Because then we'll get two spots. Exactly. So your two finalists will then go to the next one, and that's the idea with having two teams regularly. You've got a better chance of doing it. And then, you know, that would just be great. It would be phenomenal to get up to the next level, which I don't know whether or not any British team has ever kind of gone up another level. You know, it's been 10 years since anyone even made a final until last year. So we need to be there.
Okay, well, we'll be keeping our fingers crossed. Just to sort of come back to that funding point, I know last year you did a bit of a crowdfunding drive to try and get you guys out to the tournament. Is that in the works for this year too?
We're looking at different ways. I don't know whether we'll do another crowdfunding thing, going back to the same people again, because it's not our first time. And, you know, how successful will that be? We are looking at different revenue streams to help fund it, because otherwise it's completely self-funded from our players. We're not a rich club. We don't have the funding to do it. So it is completely self-funded. So if there's anyone listening that wants to get involved or wants sponsorship opportunity to, you know, fine, we'll emblazon companies' names wherever for anything. We don't have any shame when it comes to that, because it's for a good cause, you know, and it doesn't go directly to any of us. So, yeah, I don't know whether we will or not. We're looking at some different options for that. We are speaking to a few different people for it, but it's hard. It's a minority sport, and the arguable return to a lot of companies is very minimal, and in a tough economic climate with a lot of uncertainty, it's very difficult. But you know, we've got some new marketing guys on board, and hopefully they'll be able to come up with something that works and help us out a little bit, because unfortunately Belgrade's not the cheapest to get to.
No, it isn't. Stockholm's rather cheaper to get to, but I guess more expensive when you're there, so it sort of balances out.
Yeah, it may even out. Yeah, Belgrade's real cheap when you're there, but real expensive to get to.
So just sort of closing the loop, I guess, from the chat about the NBL team and the stuff early in the conversation about the youngsters, what do you think is the key to collectively getting better as the BBF and as British baseball over the next 5 years? Is it that participation for the kids? Is it getting a higher standard of player to teach them and for them to aspire to, or is it sort of all of the above, really?
It's kind of all of the above, but it comes at different times for each club. I think what needs to happen is each club needs to look at what they've got currently, what their skill sets are with the members of the club, and how you can grow that effectively. The kids has to come, without a doubt. It has to. One, it's the future of the sport. Okay, if you can get a good youth program going, then you have a steady flow of good players indoctrined into your system, into the GB system, understanding how to play baseball from a young age. Like all of us that grew up in other countries that play baseball from a very young age, you know, it becomes natural for them. So that has to happen, but it is very difficult to do. It takes resources, it takes people to be able to do it. So, but you've got to look at it and kind of sit and have a plan. You need a plan. You need a kind of a medium term and a long term plan for the club. And it's not easy. It really isn't easy, you know, with a turnover of people within clubs. it's hard. It's a lot of hard work. You have to be prepared for it. But I think, you know, the youth is absolutely the key, you know, because that will then trigger opportunities to bring in coaching. The coaching then will increase the quality of your players that you have around, and it will also bring in good players from the outside. So it kind of gives a little bit of a jump start. And that's what the Europeans have been doing. We're just behind where they've been. You know, speaking to some of the, you know, some of the other clubs around Europe, we're just behind them. It's the same. We're not doing anything necessarily wrong or differently. We're just behind. We just haven't caught up yet. That's all. So it's close, but you need a good strategy and a lot of hard work.
And I guess it sounds like there's a lot of promise. If not now, then when, I guess, on the back of what happened in September and in August last year with the two big competitions where we showed that we can compete at the world level, really.
Yeah, it is a great time. You know, so I've been involved with baseball in the UK now for 10 years, roughly 10 years. And, you know, it's had some highs and some lows, but I think overall it's better than it was 10 years ago. You know, there's some variances where, you know, you'll get some different arguments from different people, but it's going in the right direction. And I think the right strategy has to be found. There has to, you know, some of this infighting that's going around needs to stop. There has to be collaboration between clubs, between regions, between federations. And when everybody gets on the same page and drives for the same thing, because we're all doing it because we love the game. Or we should be. So what's the end goal? And it's finding that end goal and driving towards that. And that's not always the easiest thing, but it's possible.
Yeah, I think ultimately we all have the same end goal, but we maybe have different routes towards it. Certainly from my reading of what you just insinuated towards in some of the problems at the moment, it sounds like that's the root of it. Just to sort of touch on that without sort of going into the specifics, because I don't want you to tie yourself in a knot, just to pick on one particular thing. If you're an outside observer who doesn't know baseball, it might be quite confusing to you that the National League is basically in and around London with Southampton, as far away from the centre as anybody. Is it a really bad thing? I know that there's been the problems up north, but is there not something that can be done to try and bring it all under one umbrella and spread the love across the north and Wales and Scotland and so on?
Yes and no. I think there are definitely things that can be done to help certain situations. I mean, look, every club has its own issues, has its own needs, and I don't think it can be completely addressed as a whole. There's various different solutions being thrown around, talked about, rightly or wrongly, it's not for me to say. But, you know, if you take the NBL for an example, it's there because that's where the quality, it's centered where it is because of the high, it's a population density. That's where the best players are. Mm-hmm. Anybody can apply to join the NBL. There's mm-hmm. There's nothing stopping a team that has gone. So look at the London Capitals. So they, you know, they joined the NBL last year after having two undefeated seasons in AAA.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was deemed to, you know, that actually, you know what, why not? If you're doing that well, you've earned a shot. So do it. You need to have certain criteria in order to do that. There is nothing stopping anyone from any other part of the country to do it. Whether you want to travel that distance or not is irrelevant. If somebody's good enough and meets the criteria, then what's the problem? There's no problem. You know, from my standpoint as commissioner, so what? You know, let's spread it out. The more people, the higher caliber around the country that we can play and extend it, then the better. But there's a lot of different issues across the country. And we're not the only ones. You know, some of the other countries have very similar issues. So it's not such a horrible thing. But it just needs to, we all just need to work together to figure out the right solutions.
Great. I think I agree. And it feels like that's a sort of a positive note to leave it on. So before we just wrap up, where can we find you and the Mustangs online? Do you have a website? Do you have a Twitter for people who want to follow you over the course of this season?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first point of call is the website, which is southamptonmustangs.co.uk. Everything's on there. Calendars, ways to get in touch, email addresses for everybody within the club. The whole works. We're on Facebook. We are on Twitter. Just type it in, search for us. We're there. And they're updated all the time. Said we have a new marketing kind of social media policy in effect. So, really trying to get out there. And yeah, you know, short of that, also go to bbf.org. to the Federation website. You can find your local club. If you're not near Southampton, doesn't matter, go find your local club, get involved, you know, go via that or BSUK as well.
Great. That's very comprehensive and certainly plenty for everyone to get their teeth into. So all that remains is for me to say thanks very much for your time, Ben. It's been brilliant talking to you, and hopefully we can talk to you again at some point during the season just to catch up on how things are going.
Yeah, no, thanks, Sean. I appreciate the opportunity, and yeah, anytime.